You're visiting the Mom Next Door and our Stories of Faith. I'm glad you dropped by for a visit. Please stay a while and hear what the Lord has done in the lives of moms just like you and me. Well, hello, mamas. Welcome back to the Mom Next Door Stories of Faith. I'm your host, Pam Fields, and I'm honored that you would join us here. No matter where we are in the physical demands and flurry of motherhood, I believe it does our hearts and minds good to simply talk about what the Lord has done. So that's why we're here. We're here to give testimony and share our stories and the reason for the hope that's in us. The stories aren't always easy. They wouldn't always be categorized in the lighthearted or entertainment section on the library shelf. But still, the Lord meets us there. He walks with us, and we can know more of His word, His character, and what it looks like to walk out our faith. Jenny Albers is with us today, and she's going to share with us her journey through child loss. Jenny, I've been binging your reels on Instagram to get to know you a little bit better, and I'm so excited to introduce you to my listeners. So welcome. Take us into your story.
Yes. Well, thanks so much for having me, Pam. So my story starts, I would say my story of motherhood starts in 2011. That's when my daughter was born. Perfect pregnancy, textbook. We had decided that we wanted to start trying for a baby the previous year. I was pregnant within a few months after we started trying. I mean, I couldn't have asked for a better pregnancy. I wasn't sick. I was comfortable the whole time. I was sort of the cute pregnant lady. My daughter was born healthy. Everything was great. And, you know, looking back, I'm so thankful that I had that pregnancy and had what I could call a really good, easy, joyful pregnancy. So she was born in 2011. About 2.5 years later, we decided we were ready to start trying again for baby number two. That pregnancy happened very quickly after we decided to start trying. But within a few weeks, it came to just a really sad, devastating end. It was just a few weeks into the pregnancy, I started having pain in my lower right side. I did not call the doctor right away. I should have. I waited a couple days until the pain was just unbearable and I could hardly stand. Went to the hospital, as my doctor advised, had an ultrasound, and it was confirmed that the pregnancy was ectopic. And so it wasn't going to be viable. There was going to be no baby. And I remember, there's kind of the initial shock, even though I knew that something was wrong, you know, just based on the pain and the symptoms and things, but getting the bad news. And then as soon as I walked out of the ultrasound room and got the news, I immediately came face to face with a pregnant woman and immediately started crying. And, you know, it's just, the emotions are just so oftentimes anyways, and in my experience, just uncontrollable. And once you lose a baby, there's just so many triggers that occur and that I wouldn't have ever even imagined. So we lost that baby at about 6 weeks. Within a week, I had two pregnancy announcements from friends and family, and it was just a really hard time because it seemed like everybody was getting pregnant and everybody was having babies, and mine had been taken, and so that was very painful. So we waited several months. I did have some, you know, really kind of minor health issues, thyroid stuff, things that could pretty easily be managed, but I wanted to make sure that my health was in the best condition and kind of the best place that it could be moving into what we hoped would be another pregnancy. So we waited a few months, ended up becoming pregnant again for the third time. Again, once we decided to start, it happened pretty quickly. We were very grateful for that and really hopeful. And, you know, I didn't really talk about this at the time because I didn't want to sound negative or just, you know, I wanted to be the happy pregnant woman again. But there were some not even really signs, just kind of intuition, like mother's intuition. Something just didn't feel right. Ultrasounds looked good. Doctor's appointments went well. There were really no red flags other than kind of my own senses that something was off. So we made it into the second trimester. Things had looked good up to that point. Suddenly, though, I found myself in the ER for something which ended up being pretty minor. They thought, oh, it's probably just a migraine. We're going to just have you rest. You know, I had never had migraines. It seemed kind of silly that I was there, you know, when they told me that, oh, this was an overreaction. Well, as soon as I got discharged from the ER that day, I started bleeding. And so that was confirmation that, okay, there is something more going on. Next day, more blood. The day after that, my water broke. And at that point, I was only 17 weeks and 6 days pregnant. So just prior to 18 weeks pregnant. And so that obviously was, you know, when things really came crashing down and we knew that something was very wrong. So went to the specialist. They confirmed, yep, there's no fluid in here. Your water definitely broke. The outlook was not good. You know, the first thing that the doctor said, and thankfully I didn't have to see him again, was that you should terminate. And we did not. We did not want to terminate. The baby still had a strong heartbeat, was still growing on track. So everything with the baby looked good. It was my body that was not functioning as it was expected to. So pregnancy continued for about 3 more weeks, which was a complete roller coaster. You know, there was sort of this very minor hope for a miracle. I had been told if you make it to the 24-week mark, you know, which is the point of viability from a medical standpoint, they would hospitalize me and put me on bed rest until the baby was born. I did not make it to 24 weeks. I made it to just over 20 weeks when I went into labor and then delivered my baby, who was stillborn. And they thought that his heart had probably stopped maybe 2 days prior. And so I gave birth to my baby there in the hospital, and we ended up having a burial for our child, and that happened sometime later. But that was just, it was absolutely devastating. Now, there are so many things wrapped up in that, you know, in both of those scenarios, and in all of the loss, you know, everything from the grief that you would expect, to feelings of guilt and shame, and my body didn't do what it was supposed to do. My friends are all having babies. What's wrong with me? Did I do something wrong? Am I not worthy? You know, so some of those questions, and then also just kind of the sense of, you know, am I just really ungrateful? Because I did have a beautiful daughter, who at that time was still a toddler. She was 3. And I felt like, well, maybe I should just be grateful for this and not be grieving, you know, these other two babies. And so, you know, the whole thing for me was very much a roller coaster of just every emotion.
Yeah.
You know, celebrating my daughter's life, but also just being really, really sad that we weren't having the babies and that, you know, motherhood wasn't going as I thought it would. You know, and kind of wrapped up into that too was I was visibly a mother. I had other mom friends who had some kids who were the same ages as my daughter and things like that. But suddenly I didn't fit in with them anymore. You know, that's how it felt to me anyways. You know, the two pregnancies that I lost felt like I couldn't talk about those pregnancies. Moms love to talk about birth stories and pregnancy, especially when you're a young mom and that's kind of the season of life that you're in. And, you know, those two pregnancies had to be kind of a secret because I knew that people didn't want to hear about it. And even if I did, you know, almost like accidentally mention something, it was just kind of the conversation would shut down because people don't know how to talk about it and they don't know what to say. And it is really uncomfortable. And so it felt just like I was very alone, not only in my grief, but also in my visible motherhood. I wasn't kind of I say I wasn't allowed because that's how it felt. So that was my perspective. And that might not have been, you know, what my friends and other people were thinking. But, you know, certainly there weren't a lot of people acknowledging my losses and kind of acknowledging that you have this living child, but, you know, you've also lost these other two children, and that's really painful. So it really, for me, put my life into an upheaval. And it was just, I just remember it as being a really hard, dark time. You know, a couple things that I really clung to were the hope of heaven and being confident that my babies were in heaven and that I would see them again. And also that the pain was temporary. I was so thankful just to know that, even though I would never want that pain, I certainly wouldn't want it to go on for a long time. You know, the thought of having to live my entire life without the babies that I wanted, I didn't want to do that either. But, you know, that those two things were something that I could cling to, and knowing that it was temporary, even if temporary felt like a really long time for me.
Yeah. There's so much to what you just said. And as I was watching your Instagram reels and just trying to get to know you over there, I was just jotting down a bunch of questions and thoughts. And, you know, my youngest will be 10 fairly soon here. And, you know, it's been a while now since I've been expecting. But even as I listened to your story and as you were going through a lot of different emotions, you were explaining them and reading little excerpts of the book that you wrote about child loss, it's like I had to pause and think back. Oh man, you know, and I think this is one thing that women just hold, that we have these experiences that are so unique. And when somebody else tells their story, it takes us back to those moments. And so, yeah, it's something that changes us forever. I was thinking through all the friends that I have who have had miscarriages or stillborn children or any sorts of devastation during their pregnancies. I'm thinking through, did I respond well? Was I supportive? And I just love to probably, I'm not sure a better way to do it than to just kind of go through some of these questions that I, sure. Or these I don't know, these responses, I guess, that I had. One thing that I was thinking is, you know, we kind of dig on social media a lot these days, but I do think there's something very great that social media has done. And that is, you know, years ago when people walked through these losses, they really did carry them themselves and did not speak of it. No one ever knew, right? And I think I did have one miscarriage in the midst of my pregnancies. So I have 9 living children. I actually had 9 pregnancies because one of my pregnancies, I had twins. So it does equal out. If anybody ever says, how many times were you pregnant? I say 9. And then they say, how many children do you have? And I say 9. And it just makes sense, right? Nobody ever thinks through the details of that. But it wasn't something where I even went out and talked to people or did anything. And one thing I've seen in the last several years is people really memorializing and saying, hey, we've just walked through this miscarriage. We've just had a stillborn child. And I'm so appreciative for the social media in that regard, because it reminds us of the value of life and the permanency of, you know, that you are a mother, right? That does not matter if your child walks on this earth or not. God created that life and you are a mother. So that's one thing I really love about the stage we're at. I guess that's not really a question. It's more of just a response of my heart.
Well, I was, yeah. And just, you know, the social media thing that you brought up, I was so grateful for social media because I didn't know anyone in my life who was talking about miscarriage.
Yeah.
I didn't really know anybody who seemed to want to talk about, you know, miscarriage or stillbirth or pregnancy loss in general. And so I did feel really alone. It wasn't, I mean, even like church community, I think we have a lot of work to do there when it comes to pregnancy loss. And so the support that I think I needed wasn't there. And, you know, that's not to bash on anybody at all. I think that's just kind of a cultural thing.
Because it's hard to start the conversation.
Well, right. Like, and people are, you know, they don't want to make you cry, or, you know, whatever. It's uncomfortable for both sides. I mean, it was just as uncomfortable for me for people to kind of catch me off guard. Like mostly nobody wants to talk about it, but then you get the one person who says something and you're not quite sure yourself how to respond to that, you know, as the person who's grieving. And so we're just not very good at that. And so I say that not because I'm blaming the church or blaming people in general. It's just a hard thing to talk about in person. So I was grateful for the social media where we weren't necessarily talking about it in person, but we were discussing it in real time and with real people. And I could talk to another mom who had lost a baby, or I was in a group with multiple, you know, countless people who had experienced pregnancy loss. When I became pregnant after my two losses, again, there were groups for pregnancy after loss. And I was so grateful for that because that was like a whole nother season of being misunderstood. Why wasn't I, you know, just a really excited, happy pregnant woman and anticipating the best outcome for my pregnancy and, you know, planning a nursery and planning a baby shower and planning for this baby to arrive like I might have, let's say, during my first pregnancy before I had experienced loss, you know? And those are things that are expected. You're supposed to have baby showers. You're supposed to have your nursery planned out. You're supposed to be buying diapers and filling the nursery closet with little clothes. But after you experience loss, we respond to pregnancy differently. Many of us do anyways. I certainly did. And my fourth pregnancy, after those two losses, was just filled with anxiety, you know, almost preparing myself for more grief because I, you know, by that point I thought, gosh, like maybe this just isn't supposed to happen for me. So I was happy to have the social media groups for pregnancy after loss where there were other people who understood the complexities of that season that often gets missed. I was happy to be pregnant and I did feel joyful. And I did feel that excitement on some level, but then also, you know, that also coincided with grief still from losing two babies and from motherhood not playing out as planned. And for just, and for kind of losing the joy of pregnancy, there was grief over that too, that, you know, I knew when I lost my two babies that pregnancy, if I were to become pregnant again, would not look the same as it had prior to loss. Anyway, all that to say, social media can be a great resource. It can also be really hard as far as triggers and, you know, pregnancy announcements and family photos and things like that. And so I think there does need to be a balance for us when we're in a season of grief to how we utilize social media. And I think it's okay to unfollow or to take breaks from certain pages or certain people because it is painful. But definitely utilize the resources that are there if you feel like you need them, and if you don't feel like you have the support that you need, kind of circling you in your day-to-day life.
So aside from the groups that were more formal for on topic, when you posted things, did you get any private messages from, you know, even other people who said, you know, you've posted, I've never posted, but I want to share with you my experience?
Yes. Yep. So that, I mean, so that happened even in the groups, people would reach out. But then when I started writing publicly on social media about pregnancy loss, I mean, I was blown away by how many strangers reached out and shared their stories, you know, just via message. These are people I've never talked to, have probably never spoken with again. But some, for whatever reason, I was their person, you know, their safe person to tell their story to. And they hadn't had that. And, you know, I think that's a huge, I think that's just a huge thing in the grief journey, is to have someone to talk to and to have someone to validate that, that grief and that experience, and to say, yeah, you know, this loss was worthy of grief. Because I think sometimes we are unintentionally given the message that miscarriage is just something that you should move past and maybe you can have another baby, you know, is often the response. So
Yeah, you had a shared experience with those women, which gave you a place of connection, which, yeah, is so important
Right.
to have that. And it's hard sometimes in our personal communities. Maybe it's our own group is a small group, but also, yeah, how do you know, if when you're going through that, it's not like you're going to walk into a group and say, "Hey, I have a topic I just want to throw out. Has anybody experienced this?" You know, we move into communities, physically move into communities and move out of communities, and we don't know the history that comes
Right.
from each other there.
Yep. And it takes time for those relationships to develop too. So when you are walking into those communities, that's like you said, not the first thing that you're going to talk about. And as time goes on, if you get to that point in a relationship, you know, those things might come up. But it's hard. It's hard to broach that subject at all. Often based on kind of other people's responses to us. Maybe when we try to talk about it.
What did you see as far as your community, like people you knew in person? Did they rally around you and support you? What were some practical helps that we could, you know, maybe some things that people practically did for you that we can remember as women to help others that we're in community with?
Right. Yeah. So I think the first thing to just kind of remember, like, before getting into any of that, is that, you know, this is a loss. Pregnancy loss, miscarriage, stillbirth is a loss. It's often invisible, but it is still a deeply felt loss. And so, you know, when talking about how to serve women, it might look a little different than it would with, say, if somebody lost a parent, or a friend or a sibling. However, you know, many of the things that we do for anyone when they lose a loved one are the same things that you would do for someone who has lost a baby. They're still experiencing grief. For me, in many ways, I felt paralyzed. And that's pretty common just in my many conversations that I've had with women. You know, and you kind of, it's hard to function, just like for anyone who is experiencing any kind of loss of a loved one. And so, you know, the very practical ways of serving people with a meal. For me, having a living child who is young, childcare, you know, I think people often forget about that one, but just to give the mother or the parents, you know, space to really grieve and to just have some quiet time to process everything that's happened. I also say, you know, someone dropped a meal off on my door, didn't ask, just texted and said, "Hey, there's food out there." You know, so like no pressure to have a conversation, no pressure to talk about it. Here's food, it's on your steps. I will continue to reach out, but we'll talk when you're ready. So kind of the no pressure kind of reaching out. I loved when people, you know, texted me or even left me voicemails. I wasn't answering the phone in those early days. It was just too emotionally hard to talk about. But I appreciated so deeply the voicemails and the text messages I got, even if I didn't respond. And so, you know, I think it's important. I always say the check-in, I just call it the check-in. Do the check-in. I'm thinking of you. I love you. I'm so sorry that you're going through this. You know, it doesn't have to be anything very like eloquent, but just to know that you're on someone's heart and to also relieve them of the pressure to respond. So no need to respond. I'm just thinking about you. I'm here when you're ready to talk. And then also, you know, I had someone give me just a little memorial necklace that had my baby's name on it and the birth slash loss date. And so just a little token, like something tangible that they can have to remember their baby by, or to kind of memorialize that life and to recognize that there was a life there. Those are the few things that come to mind regularly for me.
There's such simplicity in serving others and ministering to them. And I think what trips us up sometimes is we think it has to be a big deal. We think we have to go through all this stuff. And, you know, if I just drop off a mug and a cup of tea and a pair of fuzzy socks, that probably wouldn't be enough. So I need to make it bigger. I need to do this next thing and the next thing. And it's maybe not necessary, you know, just what the Lord puts on your heart, just move. And maybe it's a quick text or even a note in the mail or something on their doorstep. Yeah, I think.
I wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, anything small that you can do holds such huge meaning. And, you know, speaking from someone who's been there, we just want to know that we're cared about and that someone, you know, sees what we're going through and sees that this is something worth grieving.
Yeah. Earlier you were talking about like just the discomfort in the conversation and discomfort on both sides. And so somehow I think that drop and run on the doorstep, just, you know, kind of like the May Day flowers or whatever, right? You ring the doorbell, you drop the flowers on the doorstep and you leave. It is a way to minister, but yet take away that discomfort of the conversation too.
Right.
And so maybe that's what we fear. Maybe that's part of what mobilizes, or maybe that's part of what immobilizes us, as we want to respond to our friends, but then we're afraid it's going to lead to that conversation.
Right. Right. And, you know, from the other end, I wanted to want to talk about it, but I am a very introverted person. And so I really needed space and I really needed quiet time and, you know, that time to process, but I still wanted someone to kind of see me too. And so, you know, I say all that, we all do things so differently. I have a friend who recently lost a baby who like processes through talking. And so she could talk and talk and cry with people for probably hours. And that's what she needed, but I needed quiet, and quiet processing time. And so we're also different. And so it's hard to say that there's one right way. There is not, but any small thing, just do the small thing and it will have such a big impact. You won't realize it, but it will.
We do process things so different. And I'm pretty open with information of my life on a real, like, this is informational. You need to know this. But if you make me cry in front of you, I don't want to cry in front of you. And so just, you know, being in my presence might make me cry. And so I don't mind sharing the information, but that eye to eye sometimes is so hard.
Yes, absolutely.
It's very evident when we face tragedy in our lives, and these things that literally bring us to our knees, right? It's kind of like a moment where we can really see God work, and we have to learn. Like, we can't just stay there, right? We have to find a nugget and something to cling to or to grow us. What was that? What was your experience like with that?
Yeah. So I won't say that I walked through grief gracefully. I did not. I think some people do. I think many of us do not. So I never want to gloss over that. I cried daily for I don't know how long. I cried in public. I mean, any little thing could set me off. And so it was such a painful season. I had so many questions for God that years later now, I think I have made peace with. I'm not going to have those answers. But, you know, just the constant why. Why me? Why not her? What did I do? I must not deserve this. Am I being punished? I mean, the list goes on. So, you know, there's that initial questioning and that can go on for a long time. But somewhere in all the noise in my head and all of the questions, I repeatedly would hear, and I'm not saying that this is the voice of God, but just this idea of you're going to do something with this. I heard that so many times. You're going to do something with this. I didn't know what that meant. I knew, I mean, as soon as I realized that we were going to lose our baby, I knew that something within me was going to change. It was not necessarily a wanted change. I would have loved to just have had my babies and move on with life. But for me personally, that was my first real experience with grief. I hadn't ever lost anyone really close to me. I certainly had never lost a baby. And so I knew that God was going to do something, just really kind of on a deep spiritual level. I don't think I could have put that into words, but I just felt it. Mm-hmm. And so as the years went on, I got pregnant again with my fourth pregnancy. It was a successful pregnancy. And then about a year later, I'm not even sure what sparked it. I think I went back to kind of those initial mumblings within me, you're going to do something with this. And I decided on a whim to write just a little story about like a small portion of my pregnancy after loss and what that was like. It was shared publicly, it was published, and things kind of took off from there. And I continue to write about pregnancy loss. I continue to write about pregnancy after loss, you know, and just the response to that and the messages that would come in and the people that I have never met in person, but now feel like I know pretty well, just over the internet. And just all the stories of loss and pain and all the people who are like, I've never told anyone this before, or I feel so alone, or I feel guilty for even feeling sad because somebody else has it so much worse. You know, all these conversations started happening. And I thought, this is what happens when we talk about these really hard things that we often don't talk about, you know, whether it's real life or the internet. And it just felt so powerful to me. And I knew that what had really helped me was reading other people's stories, mostly online, and knowing that even though these weren't people I knew, somebody out there knew how I was feeling and somebody out there could relate. And so I kept writing, and I did really feel like that was something born from God. And that was part of the purpose that he brought from my pain. And I think that that is a story that can be relevant for many of us. I think once we experience a certain kind of pain, whether it's miscarriage or loss of any kind or any other number of things, we suddenly can start seeing the need that other people have in relation to what we've experienced. And so it helps us connect with people, and it helps us to bring comfort to other people as well, being somebody who can understand. And so I still feel to this day that, you know, that is one way that God has redeemed part of that story, this side of heaven. I was never a person who, you know, now we're all online and we're all making videos and we're all talking and we're all posting. So it's really, it doesn't sound like that big of a deal, but for me, I have typically been a very private person, introverted, keep things to myself. Like, please, dear God, never let anyone see me cry, you know, so just a very private person. And so for me to be talking about my experiences of pregnancy loss publicly is really huge. And that is not anything that I ever saw myself doing. And so I have to say that that's all God, you know, just changing me like tiny, tiny bits at a time in order to help serve other people, even if it's in just a small way.
Yeah. I think our hearts cry for connection, and you have that point of connection with them. And we don't do grief very well in some regards, right? And like you said, this was one of your first experiences with that grief, and we need to learn how to grieve. So sometimes it's somebody, that connection, it's like, you have walked through this. Can you teach me how to grieve? Because I don't know what to do with it, right? I don't know how to process this. And I do think it would be different if you have lost a grandparent or, you know, a sibling than when you lose a child. And even in that, probably the different stages as of losing a child as well. I would imagine each one of those is going to have a little bit different way that we work through it. And I would love to just make a plug for While We're Waiting. And While We're Waiting is a ministry. I had Jill Sullivan on here, episode 131, and I will link that in the show notes. And she has a ministry. That's just what they do. They talk about child loss, and they offer retreats for grieving parents, and it could look very different for each one, but that that heart and that connection and learning to grieve, but also learning to live well through that.
Right, right. And I think many of us have a similar story. I have no organization. I do not offer retreats, but I have friends who have started nonprofits and other organizations that are focused on pregnancy loss because of their own losses. And they didn't even realize that they're, I mean, you don't realize often, right, that there's a need for something until you're the one who needs it.
Right.
And so I think that's just such, it's a painful way for sure, but it's just such a powerful way. I think that God uses our hard stories in order to serve other people.
Yeah, I think so. After these losses, you did get pregnant again. And that little one is now not a tiny little one anymore. But leading up to that, how did you process through that? Like, here I am. Had to have been a whole new set of emotions that came with that pregnancy test.
Yes, absolutely. So not only when I became pregnant again, not only was I still carrying some grief and some trauma and also PTSD. I mean, even just going back to the hospital or going to a doctor's appointment or getting an ultrasound, you immediately flash back to, oh, my last ultrasound when I got the bad news, you know, or when I left the hospital without my baby. And so there is, you know, this whole, what's the word I'm looking for? Spectrum. There's just a whole spectrum of emotions during pregnancy after loss that maybe we ourselves as someone who have lost a baby wouldn't expect, but that also kind of those around us probably don't expect either, because pregnancy is typically, you know, a time of joy, and we and our loved ones associate it as being a time of joy and excitement and anticipating a new baby. But from our standpoint, after we've lost a baby, we aren't quite sure what to expect anymore when we become pregnant again. And so I will say for me, one of the greatest emotions I felt during my pregnancy after loss was fear. And I mean, I was deeply afraid of having another loss and, you know, of kind of having to start that grief process over again. I so wanted to feel joyful. I wanted to feel excited. And I'm not saying I didn't. It was definitely a roller coaster of ups and downs with all the emotions. But I was afraid. And I, you know, I did a lot of different things to try to calm my fears, you know, some of them very obvious, praying. I listened to a lot of worship music. I, you know, tried to be very in tune with my body and with, you know, feeling, counting kicks, and being in touch with my doctor and regular appointments and all of those kinds of things. But I really had to kind of tune into the truth that God not only created the life within me, but that he had a plan for it. And that the two lives that were lost and the two babies I lost, there was also a purpose for their lives as well, even if I didn't really get to know what that was, this side of heaven. I don't believe that God creates life without a purpose behind it. And so I had to cling to that as I was pregnant after loss and think that no matter what happens, you know, this life was created by God and God has a purpose for this life. That was one of the things, you know, that I could tell myself while I was kind of working through the fear. You know, now that I'm several years out, the baby from my fourth pregnancy, who is my son, he's 6 years old now. So it has been several years since my pregnancy after loss. And looking back, and some of the things that I talk about now, and some of the things that I wrote about in my book are really meant to encourage women who are in the season of pregnancy after loss, because they were things that I needed encouragement for. How do we move through this season when there is so much fear and so much anxiety and we can really feel paralyzed and we can miss so much of the pregnancy experience being lost in those emotions? And they're very real. They're just going to be there. But I just so desperately want women who are in that season to not miss out on the beautiful parts of pregnancy and the joy that there can be, and the fact that there is a life that they're carrying, and that that life is a gift, a gift that we want so desperately to hold on to for as long as possible, but that also it is a gift. And so let's celebrate. I mean, I was afraid to celebrate my pregnancy with my son because I was afraid almost that I would look like a fool, to feel joyful about it and then to have another loss. But gosh, I wish that I would have taken more pictures. I wish that I would have intentionally celebrated my pregnancy with him, because even I did get the 9 months, I did get a full term pregnancy, and I'm so grateful for that. But even if I hadn't, I would want the pictures, and I would want kind of the memories of that pregnancy. And those are things that I also missed out on with my two losses. My second loss, I had kind of talked about how I just had a sense that something was off, and I was kind of afraid, even though I didn't have any real information as to make me feel that way. But I didn't take the pictures, and I didn't really track things or write things down, things to remember about the pregnancy. And I wish I had those things because I don't have my babies. And so some of those memories were things that I would, I guess, like to have kind of a tangible way to hold on to them. So anyway, the overarching emotion for my pregnancy after loss was probably fear. And if I could go back, I would think I would do some things differently in order to kind of bring out some of the joy there too.
Okay, well, that is a great segue into the book that you wrote. And I just want to ask you, first off, when is the best time to read a book like this? I know we have women listening who have experienced loss. Maybe there's somebody who's recently feeling uneasy about the pregnancy that they're in right now. And I always want to think about how to be a good friend to the women around me. Chances are, in our mothering circles, we know somebody who has lost, and maybe this book in a basket or, in a plastic bag from Amazon on their porch. Maybe this is the delivery we need to make to them, is a book like this. Tell me about your book. And
Sure.
at what stage someone might want to listen to the, or listen, and it's not on tape yet,
You
right?
can,
So,
it
oh, it is.
Yeah.
Okay. All
So
right. I'll
maybe
just be
just
quiet. Tell me
tell me
all
about
about
your
it.
book.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So the book is called Courageously Expecting, and I call it a memoir meets devotional. And so it is very much my story of pregnancy after loss, but I did keep in mind very common themes that women who are pregnant after loss experience, very, very common scenarios. So very relatable to, I would say, any woman who wants to become pregnant again or is pregnant again after a loss. Now, again, we are all very different in kind of how we move through the season of grief and the season of moving forward and what's next. That can look different for all of us. But I think if you are wanting to serve someone who is like has immediately just had a miscarriage or just had a pregnancy loss, you could definitely include it in a care package. But I think you would want to have a book specific to the initial stages of pregnancy loss, along with it. And for my book, I think it's something that can be there for them to pick up when they are ready. So I don't think there's necessarily an inappropriate time to give Courageously Expecting to someone, but I think it needs to be combined with a book specific to miscarriage. Now, if it is not the initial stages after a pregnancy loss, and this is something that you've talked about with your loved ones or your friends or the women at church, whoever these people in your life are, and you kind of know that they're wanting to become pregnant again and they've been open about that, or you know that they are pregnant again and they've been open about that. Those are the perfect times for sure to give them a copy of Courageously Expecting. And it is, you can get a hard copy or you can listen to it on audiobook as well. Yeah, it's me I call it a memoir meets devotional. It is faith-based. It does kind of bring us back to God and the goodness of God. There's prayer in there. There are some reflection questions. One of the things I do really like about it is it encourages us to write to the baby that we're carrying when we are pregnant after loss, which I think can be not only a beautiful way for you to process and kind of consider what's happening on a daily basis with your pregnancy after loss, but at the end of that, you're kind of left with this record of, your baby's life and that 9 months, 6 months, 3 months, whatever ends up being that they were in your womb, and you have just this record of their life that is really dear to your heart.
I already know exactly who I'm going to get one for, and I'm going to give it to her in a declaration of victory and, speaking life over her and her baby. So I would encourage everybody else to check it out. And I'm going to put links in the show notes for your website. You're on Instagram, you're on Facebook. Are there any other places where we can find you?
No, I think that covers it.
Okay.
And Courageously Expecting is available wherever books are sold, so you can pick that up anywhere.
Fantastic. Would you mind closing us out in a word of prayer?
Sure. Yeah. God, we thank you so much for this time to talk about some of the really unexpectedly hard parts of motherhood and to talk about you. We thank you for giving us the space to talk about the pain of pregnancy loss and the complexities of pregnancy after loss. These experiences are more common than we'd like to think, but so many women feel isolated and alone in their hurt and the hardship that comes along with these experiences. God, would you meet these women in their pain, and would you remind them of the hope of heaven? And would you put someone in their path that can walk with them in their grief and whatever may come next as they navigate life after loss? God, we know that so many women have these experiences, and would you connect whoever needs to be connected with someone who has experienced pregnancy loss? Would you connect them with someone who understands? God, we thank you that every life, no matter how long or how short it is, has purpose. Even if we can't always determine the details, we thank you for every mother and ask that you would bless their motherhood, even the hard parts, and even when motherhood doesn't go as planned. God, we pray that you would draw especially near to those who are grieving the loss of a precious baby and ask that you would help them to move forward in hope. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Well, Jenny, thanks so much for being here with us. I appreciate your time. And hey, if you're listening, I would love it if you jump over on Instagram and find Jenny, find me. We would love to chat with you over there. So until next week, God bless you.
I hope that you've been encouraged or challenged in your faith today, and that something we discussed prompts you to grow deeper in your walk with the Lord. If it has, make sure you tell a friend so they can grow along with you. And if you or a friend would like to be a guest and share about God's faithfulness in your life, please email me at podcast@tendingfields.net. Because when we tell of God's faithfulness, we never run out of stories.
Whatever is true, whatever is known.